Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Dr. Judy Ho joins us now, clinical and forensic psychologist, our friend, author of Stop Self-Sabotage. And Dr. Judy, you really are a friend, and we are thankful for the time that you give us and come on.
Oh, I'm thankful to you guys, and I love being friends with you all. Happy pre-Thanksgiving to you.
And to you as well. You heard Dave Cohen just now talk about politics. I guess, given the state of America, that's a very dangerous thing to bring up.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like some families actually get off on fighting over something. So here you go. This is a very ready-made thing that you can argue about if you want. But if you actually want to keep the peace and you actually want to get out of there and feel sane and want to see your family again in the very near future, I would suggest that, especially if you know that there are people who are across party lines and tend to really get into the weeds about this stuff, that you just make a rule. No politics talk at the dinner table. And I think as the host, especially, you should be able to say that because, hey, they're coming into your home, you're hosting, and it should be your rules.
At what point do you make this pronunciation? Is it as people enter the door? Do you jokingly hang up a sign, no politics zone? How do you do it tactfully without hurting people's feelings?
You know, I think it does depend on the family, but my two top suggestions would be to give them a heads up, advance notice. You know, when you're sending out that email or that group text that you're confirming final details. By the way, we're doing a couple of things new this year. No cell phones at the table and no talk of politics. You know, just kind of drop it in there, casual but firm. Or I would say, yeah, you know, when people come in, hang up a sign. Sometimes people have signs, you know, shoes off, or, you know, I have heard a lot now about people, again, instituting a no cell phone zone at the dinner table. So just throw that into the same thing, put that on the same sign. And if people want to argue with you about it, just say, you know what, the rules are the rules. That's what we've decided this year. Don't even get into it with them because that is just a slippery slope.
Kind of like in the old days when the kids would go to the store and instead of just getting a dirty magazine, they'd get a dirty magazine, a candy bar, maybe some shoelaces and something else to get it lost in the, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, don't drag a bunch of things in here.
Those were in the days before the internet, of course. When you say family sometimes like fighting, that's so long as everybody at the end can laugh about it and be friendly, right? Because sometimes people fight and then for whatever reason, everybody gets their feelings hurt and they don't talk for a year over something foolish like this.
Yes, exactly. And you have to kind of just remember what's really important. I mean, is it really important that you win this battle? Or is it important that, you know, in some ways you win the war, that you, you know, your family's important to you and you know those relationships are important. And also, you know, that's going to cause your other loved ones stress. You know, maybe if you're having a standoff with mom, your siblings are going to be stressed out too. You know, why bother? And that's what I tell people too, especially with family members. They're not going to change. They've been this way their whole life. So in some ways, you're not going to convince them all of a sudden to take a whole new perspective or have a personality transplant. So you got to love people for who they are and tolerate the things that, you know, are a little less appealing to you. And again, move on. It's not really about you convincing them that your way of thinking is the right way.
And it's so silly because I would challenge anyone right now to call in and tell me when you have had a conversation, not just with a family member at the holidays, but with anyone where you've had a political conversation and they said, you know what, Dr. Judy, you're right. Everything I've believed for my entire life is wrong. I don't mean to make this about you, but just as an example, Tommy, everything I've ever believed is wrong, and you, in this five-minute diatribe over the turkey and the dressing, you've convinced me to change my point of view. Never has it happened. It's pointless. Why do it? Some questions are coming in, 260-1870, or text them, ideally to 870-870, and I'll pass them along to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical neuropsychologist, author of Stop Self-Sabotage, a friend of ours, and she'll try to make your Thanksgiving nicer if there are any underlying issues with family, friends, etc. 9:15, back in a flash, WWL. I got to tell you, we've been listening to that for 10 years, and each and every time, it never has a different effect on me. The endorphins get released in my body, the adrenaline does, and I just feel good. And I would suggest this. Remember how happy you were when you were together as a family and Tracy Porter intercepted that pass, and we knew we were going to win the Super Bowl? Well, just bring that with you to the Thanksgiving table and forget all the other stuff. Dr. Judy Ho, clinical neuropsychologist, author of Stop Self-Sabotage. Am I right, doctor, or not?
I love that tip, Tommy. It's really kind of bringing people together by, you know, eliciting a really awesome memory where you were all on the same side, or just thinking about a time in which you were really united over something. You know, no matter how trivial you think that thing might be, it's really about being on the same team. You know, there's a lot of research that shows when people feel like they have a goal that they're working towards, that they're working together for a bigger reason, that does tend to bring people together. So if there's any way to recreate that at the Thanksgiving table, that would be great. I mean, even playing a board game where there's teams and there's that camaraderie, it really does help to focus people and to, again, elicit those positive emotions so you can get through the dinner without drama.
But what about, and there's always that one jerk that thinks, speaking of the Super Bowl, that they think playing Pictionary or Joggle or whatever games they have. I'm not a big board game guy, Doc, but that it's a Super Bowl that they have to win. It's like, how do you get everybody to relax and just have fun and explain to them, you know, there's no cash prize here or anything. We're just trying to bond as a family.
You know, it's really hard sometimes to, again, change people from the bottom up. But the biggest thing that you can do is to not reinforce their competitive behaviors. And it's funny how when we try to manage an adult's behavior, it's actually very similar in principle to how we manage our children's behavior. So you know how when your children are doing things that are bothering you, sometimes people will say, just ignore them. And actually, they do eventually stop. So if you actually give attention to that behavior, then it's going to continue because any attention is good attention. So after you've already set the ground rules, hey, guys, let's not get too competitive here. There's no prizes. It's all in good fun. Say it once. If they continue to, like, scream in people's faces whenever they win something, just ignore them and move on. They will stop because eventually it's not very fun to basically do things that no one is having any reaction to.
That's a great point. Somebody texted in, and this is a serious issue, and I would imagine it's not just for the person that texted in, it's something that repeats itself, and that is they're hosting Thanksgiving dinner. Siblings are coming over, as are the parents, but one of the sibling is having a squabble with the mom, and they're not talking to each other, and they want to get the family together, and they don't want either one to boycott. And the question is, do you not tell the other that the other one is coming, or do you let them both know ahead of time and risk one of them not coming? How do you do that?
Yeah, this is a tough one, but you definitely don't want any surprises the day of. So I think you have to do your best to let them know ahead of time, but not too ahead of time, you know. So maybe, you know, right now we're on Wednesday, so this is kind of like the day to let them know. But also make it really clear to them that it's important for you that they come. And so, hey, just so you know, so-and-so is coming. Now I know that you guys aren't really getting along, but I'm really, really hoping you will come. It means so much to me, and I will promise that I will make sure you guys sit at different ends of the table and that, you know, just, you know, try to manage things as best as possible on my end, but it would mean a lot for me for you to come. And speaking of which, I don't think that it's tacky to have place settings where people should be sitting. I mean, there's certain people that you just know are going to get along and talk better with one another. Put them together. And if you know there's some people who are just going to argue with one another, get into politics, no matter what your rules are, separate them. I think that it's okay to have place settings for your table.
You know, it's interesting to hear you say that even in the relatively small confines of whomever's dining room or kitchen, wherever they eat, that even no matter how small it is, doctor, I guess what I'm trying to say, spatial orientation can have a lot to do with it, right?
Absolutely. And I think, again, you know, it's really all about understanding what is the easiest and most harmonious way for you to have your Thanksgiving? You know, don't ever apologize for it. I think sometimes people will do stuff like that, and then they'll say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that I'm making you sit here or at this table. Just do whatever you want to do. You're the one who's hosting, and it should be your rules. Don't apologize, because once you over-apologize, you know there's those family members who, they detect weakness, they smell it from a mile away, and the minute you apologize, then they start coming in on you. Well, yeah, why didn't you do that? Aren't we a family? Can't we make these decisions for ourselves? And then here you go, having another fight for no reason.
You know, a lot of people go through that with contractors, and I'm going to move on here. This has nothing to do with it. But a friend was telling me that they had a contractor. They were trying to be nice. The contractor somehow interpreted that as weakness. And does that happen often with people where they don't know how to accept a helping hand or some kind of nice offer?
Yeah. You know, there are just some people who I think they're always on the lookout for being cheated, being deceived. And anything that you do, you know, even if you're not even looking at them sideways, they'll interpret that as something that's hostile or something that's not good for them. And again, you're not going to change these people. Sometimes you give them a helping hand and they think that there's something else beneath it, or you're making a comment about how they're not doing a good job. And I would say that, it's, again, you know, it's just not about trying to change somebody's personality from the ground up. If they are somebody who can't graciously accept it after you've tried once and explained yourself that you really have no ulterior motive, move on and give that goodwill to someone else who deserves it.
I like the way you think. Max on a cell. Hi, you're on with Dr. Judy.
Hey, Dr. Judy, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you? Hi,
well, good,
how are you?
Good. Just, I'm actually pulling up at the new Louis Armstrong Airport right now to pick up some relatives for Thanksgiving, and my question pertains
all right.
to harmony at the Thanksgiving table. We have about half the family is does not drink. So my question really is, we kind of avoid all the bad topics. We don't talk about religion. We do talk a little politics though, because it's mostly doctors and lawyers, so they all don't like Trump. But what we're trying to do is, so alcohol. So half the people don't drink, half the people do. How do we avoid? Is it okay to drink?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it depends. So if there's anybody in your family who might be newly recovered, you know, they had an alcohol problem and they've tried to get better, and they're kind of new maybe in their sobriety and their absence from alcohol, the best thing to do is to ask them, you know, what do you need for us to support you? Is it that would you like me to not have alcohol around? Obviously, don't ask that question unless you're ready to hear the answer, because they may say, yeah, you know what, it's a little triggering for me, so I would really appreciate it if you guys didn't drink. But I think in general, you can always sort of have your alcohol in a certain area and not sort of distribute it all around. I sometimes see people with their gatherings and it's like alcohol's everywhere. And maybe for some people who are not drinkers, even if they don't have an alcohol problem, they would just appreciate you also taking a little bit of special time to think about the things that they would like to drink. And so just make sure that you have a balance of alcoholic and non-alcoholic options pretty much wherever people are getting drinks. And I think that everybody's going to feel respected. Now, again, the exception is somebody who might have an alcohol problem. Then you got to ask them and say, what would be a respectful way for us to handle this for you? And sometimes people don't want to impose and they'll say, you know what, I will come for a couple hours and then I got to go, because the longer the night goes, the more I'm going to be tempted to drink with you all, and just sort of respect whatever decision they want to make for themselves in that regard.
Especially for us here, because we got a Saints game tomorrow night, right after the Thanksgiving dinner. Tomorrow night, Saints playing the Falcons. I want to get to this too. Somebody texted in and said, and we're about out of time, but somebody texted in and said they have a family member who recently lost their job and took a job that was way beneath what they were doing before. And they don't know what to talk about. They're hesitant to bring up the job because things aren't going very well for them. They said they only see this person once or twice a year, so there's only so much small talk. What is your advice there, Doc?
You know, I think that sometimes we get uncomfortable because it's actually an uncomfortability that comes from us. So a lot of times when we say, oh, I don't know what to say to this person, things aren't going so well with their life, what if I say something and I trip up? That's more your own uncomfortability with that situation and your own insecurity. Sometimes that individual may or may not even really be thinking about that. And I don't think that you should worry so much about the small talk aspect and just talk to them genuinely about whatever comes up. You don't have to plan topics in advance, but if you feel like, wow, this is a landmine, I don't want to step in it. Definitely don't want to ask them about their job because it's going to get weird. Talk about whatever else comes up, you know, and if you don't feel comfortable relating to this person one-on-one, then just engage them when you're in a group, you know, when there's another person on the three of you, that it's not just all on you in terms of what topics. And by the way, that other person is a human being too. They may bring their own topics. So I think don't overstress about it and don't feel like you have to talk about work or any aspect of people's lives, whether it's how come you're still not married? I don't want them to be sensitive. They just broke up with their boyfriend. Again, all of that stuff is more the insecurities that come from you about how you handle that uncomfortable situation. So let it go. Just let it go and let them direct the conversation and you just respond in kind.
So something like, for example, it would be perfectly appropriate would be, wow, y'all still aren't pregnant? What's the problem with which one? That probably something not to bring up.
Yeah, exactly. That would exactly be it. And I think, again, let that person direct the conversation. So if they want to talk about it, then fine, you want to talk about it. But if you don't, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I hope you and your family have a very wonderful Thanksgiving. Will you be with your sister?
I will be with my
sister. Good, good,
good. Yes.
I will
be there. Yes, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving too, Tommy.
Thank you. I will. I would avoid the post-Thanksgiving dinner Penny Ante poker game with her if I were you.
Oh, she will not play at a home game because she has her reputation to defend. And if she loses in a home game, she'll never live it down. So she has never played a home game with me in my lifetime, just so you know.
But you're pretty good yourself, are you not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why she doesn't want to go up against me.
I got you. Thank you so much, Doc. Pleasure as always. Have a great Thanksgiving. Clinical neuropsychologist, author of Stop Self-Sabotage. And we were speaking about this earlier. Her sister is a world champion poker player. So that's why they don't want to get involved in a Penny Ante game. Coming back, talking, speaking of pennies and money, wagerpro.com, JR, Tommy's weekend winners. Let's make some money when we come back with the NFL on WWL.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.